Welcome back to CWC Dive Deep. Today, we take a deeper look into our message from Sunday and discuss how we can actively pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, with Pastor Arlie Davis. Welcome, Pastor Arlie.
Thank you, Caleb. Good to be here.
And Pastor Mandy Rhodes. Welcome, Pastor Mandy.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you as a guest spot on today's podcast. It was a great sermon this weekend. Really tackled some tough subjects. And so we just want to open right up, like no delay here. Pastor Arlie, we invited Pastor Mandy on the show to provide some more insight into this topic. So
absolutely. I know you have some questions for. It's kind of like the way that I wanted the sermon to go, because I said, let's just get the tough stuff out of the way first, because it's going to be in the back of your mind anyway. So like, why not just address it and then try to move from there? So excited to have Pastor Mandy with us, because realistically, now she and her husband Eric are very two different personalities.
We are,
which is kind of interesting, also. But really, biblically, Eric would be the spiritual leader in the home, but by nature of vocation, Pastor Mandy is spiritual leader outside. So how do you reconcile that, and how do you manage that in trying to be able to maintain kind of the biblical standards that would be given to us?
Sure. I think that the Lord has certainly been working on my heart for a very long time. And when I came here and God first called me into ministry, that was about 8 years ago. And I went through a season of, I kind of knew that I was to be a leader, that God put that leadership in my heart. And I really had a hard time submitting at home. In fact, my marriage, I just felt like I was still trying to take that leadership. And so I actually...
Now, was it Eric a Christian then?
He wasn't that first year.
Okay, because we had that opportunity together.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so. Yeah, and I think that that's where I knew that my kids were going to know Jesus no matter what. And so I really still had that leadership, still working through that. And once he made that decision, it was around that time that I started fasting. And I remember praying, okay, Lord, what am I fasting about? I knew it, you know, it was during the 40 days. I heard the Lord say, bite your tongue. And this is, it was crazy because, okay, I do like to talk a lot, but I knew it was bite my tongue in my home. And I remember loading the dishwasher and just kind of having that grumbling attitude, you know, I'm working 9 to 5 and he's working and he has a very important job. And I remember actually physically biting my tongue. And not to say that I can't share, you know, when I need help, but I knew that that was the role that God had called me to do. And that's when I feel most fulfilled, is when my home is taken care of, my husband and my children. And so it allowed me during that 40 days to bite my tongue and allow Eric to lead out, to be the leader, to take us to church, to do those things that we were able to do. And it really changed the dynamic of our household.
And do you think that Eric, I mean, like, did he feel that kind of difference, like that he needed to be the spiritual leader? I mean, because he came to Christ, like, just right around that time.
Right, yeah.
Which I don't even remember exactly how it all happened, but I know that where we met in the well.
Yeah.
And I know I got to, you know, share with him. He shared with me and, you know, got to, you know, pray with him. But that's all new. Like, you'd grown up in the church and, in fact, had some distortions that maybe even apply to all
right.
of this as well.
Oh, yeah. Speaks to me.
And so you had all that. So you had grown up. So you had a kind of a knowledge background. So you were ahead of him in that sense also. So how do you negotiate that as well? And did he sense that, like, wow, I'm the spiritual leader and I've got to do something? Or
Yeah, I remember – being around the dinner table, and my parents were there. And I remember, I think it was around, because he had called you around winter time, and he didn't even tell me he was making that call. He really wanted that to be his decision.
Wow.
And after you guys met, he came to me and said, I just accepted Christ. And so it was around that springtime, he had everyone hold hands, and he started leading in that prayer and around the dinner table. And that's when I knew, like when I started seeing those things.
Sure.
And it wasn't an instant thing. I was still leading in certain things, and he was starting to learn that he was the leader.
Sure.
And I was starting to submit and fall back in that position.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was like overnight. As he was growing, I've had to grow too.
Absolutely.
To learn where my role was.
Well, you have like both the more outgoing personality, so you'd be more aggressive.
Right.
And he's a little more reticent. So you had that issue to really kind of overcome.
Yeah.
You had the spiritual awareness and knowledge that was also part of your background versus his. So it would have been really, and then the position.
Yeah.
So it would have been really natural with all those three for you just to charge ahead and ignore anything that Eric would want to be doing as leader.
Yeah.
Is he going to listen to this?
I hope not. But what was great about it is as a new believer, he was hearing these things and almost checking me, right? Like, because I was like, oh, I'd grumble or I'd do things that I really wasn't supposed to do. And then he'd be like, now, Mandy. And I'd be like, okay, another thing to bite my tongue. You know, like he was helping me grow too through his growth. And it was just a really, it still is. It's still a really cool thing to walk into and just grateful for all of it.
So, Pastor Mandy, what has your past experience been, and how has that shaped your ability to be the leader at church and also play second chair at home?
Yeah, so the cool thing is there was a time where I definitely, I just growing up and knowing that I had to be, I almost felt like the culture was telling me to be independent, to be this woman who had this career. And that's where my mind was kind of like, I got to take care of myself. It's me first, me, me, me. And I really think that's what our girls are battling right now. It's all about me. We really have to be looking out for number one. And then I met Eric and I had to figure that out. But I watched my mom in that submissive role too, even through some turmoil and some stuff that we had grown up with. And she still stayed faithful. She still stayed in the role that she was called to be in. And so I got to see that. And so I think if I hadn't seen that, I would have had an even harder time submitting to the role of wife and mother.
Hmm. Yeah. And just want to be very clear, we're never saying that women should be doormats.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
Probably the word submissive probably needs to have a redefinition in our total context of our culture, and yet still abide by the biblical mandate.
Right.
And so I think that's a whole different kind of piece that maybe to dig into. But I always, whenever I talk about those things, I always say in Ephesians, the very first commandment was submit to one another.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then it talks about submission in the relationship of marriage. And so that's really quite a different thing. So when we understand that spirit of submission needs to be present in all of us for us to be able to be effective and really communicate the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what exactly do you think was going on in Ephesus? I'm just curious. Pastor Mandy, what was happening there? Pastor Arley, what kind of assumptions can we draw based on the context that you provided?
Right.
So what do you think it looked like during a church meeting?
Well, a lot of it in the Greco-Roman world that was coming in, there was a whole different kind of perspective that was coming in from other pagan religions that was a part of that. And pagan worship, you know, included sexual kind of activity. And I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that was creeping into the church because now this new religion, and we'll call it that, we know that's not what we're comfortable with, but this new religion had come in and it was very, people wanted to draw in what was there into this new religion also. And that was the distortions that started to happen. And so the real danger signs that were all over in that particular Greek world.
Hmm. So just and you can imagine it's very difficult to try and blend your past. What do you keep versus what do you throw out as you kind of come to Christ and you understand that
sure.
things should be totally different. And for them, just as confusing because there was no history and background to what a Christian looked like.
And most of these major cities were ports. Mm-hmm. And so they were bringing in all of these other, you know, religions and backgrounds as well mm-hmm. into all of that. And so to try to nail this down and clear it up, mm-hmm. you know, Timothy had his hands full.
Yeah.
Anything else that you wanted to add?
That's what I was going to talk about is mm-hmm. how important Timothy's job was and Paul encouraging Timothy to make sure mm-hmm. that this delicate thing that they're trying to grow.
Yeah.
Is they're doing the right things.
Right. And when you start a church, you want it on a solid foundation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because from there on, just like a building, you know, if it's not totally, you know, flush with everything and clear, the distortion that can happen later is like really significant. So obviously he was trying to do a ground zero kind of thing mm-hmm. with this church to get it established in the right way.
Yeah. And Pastor Mandy, I hear you saying that it was really essential that Timothy be protective of what they were building there. And so, you know, some of the behaviors, I think probably all around in the Church of Ephesus at this point needed addressed. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't see what those behaviors were necessarily, but we can see Paul's response mm-hmm. or advice to Timothy. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor Mandy, what do you take from this specific chapter, chapter 2, as far as application? So avoiding the concept of legalism, but what's good here? What do we draw out and what do you encourage women to do as a result of this?
You know, I think that as I've been trying to guide myself through ministry and the mom thing and the balance and what God has called me to do, I always go back in my heart to say, God has given me the same Holy Spirit that he's given the men. God has anointed me like he's anointed the men. He has, you know, my salvation is the same as the men. And so if God has placed something on your heart to do, he's going to make a way. And I certainly think like through this ministry, it's been a challenge to try to balance it all. But I mean, that's every working mom, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just ministry. Mm-hmm. It's working moms. And I go home for lunch today and I whip together, you know, make sure I've got chili in the crock pot. And there's nothing more fulfilling than knowing that my family is cared for first sure. and foremost. And so just following what God has placed on your heart to do for his glory, and all those other things, he'll balance it all out for you.
Well, I think also, like, if we can all be on the same page in regard to this, God is the first person in
Absolutely.
Our lives.
Right.
All the way around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Second is our family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Third is our ministry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's for men and women, mm-hmm. That if we can be able to have the regard for our family second, like, how is this benefiting? How is this ministering? How is this going to, you know, impact our family? And then, okay, what is my ministry? And the hard part, because I think this is the hard separation. Like, we feel our ministry is God.
Right.
And
yes.
And so, like, trying to balance that becomes a real challenge for all of us, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to try to say, no, that's my ministry. This is how I serve God. And it comes out of that, but it can't go over our family needs that
yeah.
are there. And yet, we still work full time. I mean,
yeah.
like, so I can't just say, oh, I think I'll only work 30 hours this week. right?
Yeah.
right.
So we're not saying that. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think that that's like an important part as we're trying to work through that.
Yeah. I'm curious from both of you, do you have any tactics or suggestions for helping to balance that? And I'll give you an example. What Michelle and I had done this past fall was we created something called No Plans November, which meant that we weren't going to fill in our social calendar. We mm-hmm. kept it clear so that we could rest in preparation for what we knew were coming up in the holidays. Do you have any tactics like that to try and balance that, you know, prioritizing your family over other things?
We always, you know, we always kept family night on Tuesdays, with no plans ever on Tuesdays. And so we would try to do something as a family together, whether it was watch a movie or play games or go someplace or whatever. But we just tried to keep that as a priority. And so people in the church don't always understand that, if I can say that, like, okay, because they think, oh, well, it's just your family. I mean, you, like, you could see me, right? And like, I always go, I'm sorry. And so I had to resort to saying, well, we have an appointment that night. And the appointment is my family, because I can't afford to lose my family and win in ministry. So I've got to make sure that's always kept that. So we always tried to keep that as in a perspective and try to do the right thing. It's challenging, but it's good to set some kind of boundaries.
And I'd say that expectation comes from employers now too, largely, where they want you to put that time into whatever your work is. And so to use that same exact strategy of saying, no, that night is booked, unfortunately. I have other commitments that I need to attend to. So yeah.
Because people would want to minimize it.
Yes, they do. Pastor Mandy, any thoughts or suggestions?
One thing we do at our house is called a blackout night. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but
you turn off the electricity.
We turn. We want to save as much money as possible. But we put down the cell phones, and that's PS4s, and that's Netflix, and that's tablets, and we just—it's kind of crazy to have a quiet house with three little ones, but it really does help us, whether it's a board game or just sitting with them and doing homework. So we call that the blackout night, and
Good idea. Those are great thoughts for people who are listening.
You can combine the two now. Tuesday night, blackout night.
That's it.
That's all of November.
Any final challenges that you want to leave listeners with this week from either Pastor Mandy or Pastor Arley?
You know, we didn't get to talk too much about the legalism issue, which was part of what we were kind of thinking about too, but there's just so much to say. But I guess what I would caution people, that legalism can be anything when we go more to the rule than the author of the rule. Like if we start shifting our focus to the do's rather than the be's and be in relationship, then I think we can get into a legalism trap. And I think we should all be cautioned to make sure, you know, that we remember we're human beings, not human doings. And I think that God wants to use that.
That's good stuff. I just think I've been through a lot of the legalism, grew up and just being hurt and just questioning my faith through a lot of things. I remember asking my dad, we've been through the TV thing, no TV, we need TV. And I just actually asked him about the scripture. What was the scripture that they used, you know, to not have TV? And he said, when David wrote, I will put no evil thing in front of my eyes. And that was seen as the TV. And so just taking that scripture, and they decided that would be the TV.
I think they called it hellavision.
I mean, there is some bad stuff on there, but there's also good stuff. Yeah,
television.
And just remembering, you know, like, even if we hear these sermons, even if we hear whatever we're hearing, we're called to study our Bibles. We're still called to dig into the word and really see for ourselves if our spirit is telling us if we're convicted, if it's the truth, if, you know, what we feel is right. We have a job to do, and I really think we need to be on our A game when it comes to our studies and our scripture.
And if there's anything I can encourage, that was probably the big word for this whole message was context. Make sure you know context before you start forming a doctrine.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Arley and Pastor Mandy.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
And thanks for joining us on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith. Join us next Monday as we continue Be the Guardian. And if you missed last week's episode, be sure to check it out on CWC.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other great messages to dive into. Have a great week.